Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
There is an absolutely electric feeling in this building tonight. It is so incredible to see my old friends from The Daily Show here. Jon Stewart, John Oliver, Sam B., Ed Helms, Rob Corddry. We were all just talking backstage. None of us have aged a day. And just seeing those guys, it just really takes me back. I mean, I can still remember my last day at The Daily Show like it was yesterday. I can't put it into words, but I can put it into flashback. Is this working? Can we do the effect, please, Jim? Oh, my final day. So many memories. But there comes a time when a man has to do something completely different. The same character, half an hour later, half a block away. Courage. Okay, just gotta pack up my lucky mug. Gotta pack up my... my lucky box of free printer cartridges and my lucky tangerine iBook, the sleekest, most stylish product Apple will ever make. There we go.
Hey, Steven.
Oh! Hi, Samantha Bee.
You getting ready to head out?
Yeah, Samantha Bee, I am.
I can't believe you're leaving right in the middle of the George W. Bush administration. There's never gonna be another president this good for comedy. I mean, this guy does something ridiculous like at least once a month. You know, I know there's one thing for sure. There is no scenario in which I will ever say, God, I wish George W. Bush was president.
You look fantastic, by the way.
Is this my yogurt?
I have not seen your yogurt. No,
oh,
I have not seen
okay.
it.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Steven. Hey, Rob Corddry. Hey, Ed Helms. What's up, you guys?
Can't believe you're leaving us, Steven. I mean, it's crazy. It's like Beyonce leaving Destiny's Child. Like, we're never gonna hear from her again.
No.
Well, thanks for stopping by to say goodbye, you guys.
No, actually, we came because we're fighting over which one of us gets your office.
I just don't know how to choose.
Oh, come on, man. I'm already ready to hang up my poster of my two favorite comedians, Bill Cosby and Subway spokesman Jared Fogle.
I know one thing, Rob. They will never let you down.
Hey, has anyone seen my yogurt?
Nope, nope, haven't seen it.
Well, hello there, chums.
Hey. How about that? My buddies.
Oh, hey, yeah? Look, it's...
That's right, it's me, Steve Carell. Beloved correspondent from The Daily Show in 2005.
Why are you talking in that horrible British accent?
That's a good question, because unlike you feeble-minded chuckle monkeys, I'm off to Hollywood to become a serious actor. But it is me, Steve Carell. And I can prove that by saying something that only Steve Carell can say. I have so much body hair that there is an unbroken line of fur between my eyebrows and my ankles. Yeah, classic
that's
Steve.
That adds up. That adds up.
Has anyone seen my yogurt?
No.
Oh, there we are.
John, what are you doing in there? The show's about to start.
We're doing another show today.
Yes, John, it's a daily show. You have to do it every day.
Why every day? You could cover everything you need to say about politics in half an hour on a Sunday night.
Wait, people would watch that on a Sunday? I doubt it.
Or a Wednesday at 10:30, 9:30 Central.
Everybody shut up! Shut the f*** up!
Wow.
Shut your mouths! Shut up! Got it? John,
Yes!
Why are you eating our yogurts?
Because right now we're a family. And if someone's in need, we're always there for each other.
Yeah.
Especially you, Steve Carell.
Thanks. Jolly good.
But I guess I'm realizing that families grow up. Kids go off to college or star in a billion-dollar film franchise about a hangover.
$1.42 billion.
Or an Academy Award-winning franchise about a hot tub time machine.
That won an Academy Award?
Well, it's still 2005, so you can't prove that it has not.
I guess I'm realizing one day you'll all spread your wings and leave me, and all I'll have left is your yogurts.
5 minutes to showtime, people.
Oh, my God. All right, quick. You.
What?
Get me some footage of an old lady slipping on ice.
Okay, one frozen granny fanny coming up, as Steve Carell always says.
He always says that. All right. You guys, give me 3 puns about Donald Rumsfeld's penis. Okay.
Schlongled Nutsfeld.
Wrinkled Schaffsfeld.
Prick Retary of Prick Fence Ding Dong Rumsballs. Wow.
Brilliant. No wonder we win Emmys. All right.
What about me, John? What do I do?
Steven, I guess just arch your eyebrow or something makes people think you're smart.
Got it.
But first, before we do anything, our traditional pre-show prayer. Hands in, everybody.
Okay.
Go Liberal Tango!
Stick around, everybody. All these people are on the show tonight.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
My first guest tonight is a gentleman farmer, but you know him from his roles in The Faculty, Half-Baked, and Death to Smoochie. Please welcome Jon Stewart.
Thank you very much. Hello. How are
I'm not comfortable here. I don't feel comfortable.
I am perfectly comfortable.
I know
you
you're
there.
Comfortable. I don't feel comfortable. I'll tell you why I don't feel comfortable.
Why?
I've been reading about you. I've been seeing about you in the news. You have a potty mouth.
That I do. But might I say, I learned it from you, Dad. Do you know that James Comey was fired by Trump, right?
What?
Did you? I got a question for the audience. When I said that Comey had been fired by Trump, y'all cheered. Why? Is it because what he did to Hillary?
No.
But you know he's investigating Trump's campaign's ties to Russia,
which will
evaporate like cotton candy in the ocean.
No, you know what you got? You got. They were riding a wave. That was like a beginner surfer's class where they were like, I'm standing up. Oh, no, wait. Oh, no, now I'm on my knees. Hold on. Because
okay.
It was. I hate that guy. I love that guy. But Trump did it, and they didn't know how to feel. And it was interesting to watch.
Well, listen, you live on a farm now, okay?
I don't. But
you live on a farm.
I live in New Jersey.
There are farms in New Jersey.
No,
you
but
have
I know.
A farm. You have a farm.
Yeah, but I don't
do
live
Do you
in...
miss, like, on a night like this when James Comey has just been fired, do you miss, you know, doing a show like this? Because you used to, you know, talk about bullshit. Now you literally shovel it. Do you miss this? Do you miss, like, is tonight a night where, like, I want to get in there?
There are nights where I find myself sort of impotently shouting into the abyss. which, if you think about it, wasn't that different from what I did on a nightly basis.
No, no. Ultimately, these shows are shouting into an Altoid tin and throwing it off an overpass.
I miss the process. The process of making the show somehow became entwined with my process of making sense of things that I didn't understand, and the two sort of merged at some level. So I miss that, and I miss the people like you and you know, all the great people that were around it. And it is nice, certainly, you know, when you come out, in life, very few people applaud you. Like if I go to the store to get something, it's not like, oh my God, bread. Like, it's not. Like, here, you come out, and there's a response and affirmation that you don't necessarily get amongst sheep and goats. But I don't, the things that I've gained in terms of time spent with family and things like that, I wouldn't give up for.
You're going to make me cry, John.
So stop it.
I haven't seen you. We haven't been together to talk since Bill O'Reilly.
What happened?
He went to a farm upstate. is it your farm by any chance? I invited him to come live with us on the farm.
I'll tell you, no, it's not. All right, we only have geldings and we have no bulls, only steers. Everybody pays a price for freedom on our farm.
Are you surprised that it actually happened for him after so many years of it not happening? That's what surprised me, was not that it happened, but like after so many years of people kind of knowing the behavior he was accused of and the cash payoffs and stuff like that, or
but
settlements.
The place was run by a guy who was doing the same thing. Roger Ailes was involved in a similar thing. So how could he fire, how could you call in somebody who works for you and say, this sexual harassment stuff, and the money we're paying out, it's got to stop. When you're paying out money for sexual harassment, there was no accountability throughout the entire building. It was, I tell you, you've been over there. You felt like, I remember I would go and I would tape Bill O'Reilly's show, and as you would leave, you would see little heads like pop out of doors in the hallways, almost like that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark when he's in the mine and all the little kids like look out. Like, it was that feeling of like, take us with you. Like, it was that kind of.
It's, you know, Temple of Doom, John. That's
was it Temple of Doom?
It's Temple of Doom, John. You've really lost a step.
you have no idea. I honestly, it is like, and I, when you grow the beard, I now like my children tell me my kisses feel like punishment. Like, that's not, that's what my life is right now. What do you think? Smooth? Smooth, right?
Soft as an angel's.
Are you surprised?
He's mad.
Angel.
He's mad. I said angel. And now you're gonna have to bleep that.
Is that true?
I said soft as an angel. What? I'm insulted that that'll be bleeped, because that's like saying you wouldn't kiss an angel.
Who?
Shame on you. Shame on you.
The things that you say, even if they're crass, or even if they, in some ways, are not respectful enough to the office of the presidency, we can insult. He can injure. Like, it's the difference between insult and injury. And for the life of me, I do not understand why in this country we try and hold comedians to a standard we do not hold leaders to. It's bizarre.
All right, well, we'll be right back with more Jon Stewart and some other people you're gonna love.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover
inside the house there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free, starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled and honored to say that my next guests are comedians, movie stars, and late-night hosts. Please welcome the host of Full Frontal, Samantha Bee. The host of Last Week Tonight, John Oliver. The star of the Hangover movies and The Office, Ed Helms. And the star of Hot Tub Time Machine and Ballers, Rob Portman.
Please have a seat.
All right. This is
now, I'd like to start off by saying...
Steven?
Yes.
Oh, so uncomfortable.
Am I doing this wrong?
Just don't make eye contact.
Okay.
Don't give him food
or
he won't go
really
away.
His breath is really hot.
It's for warmth.
I want to start off by saying that this arrangement we have right now is exactly something we would have made fun of on The Daily Show.
Yep.
Because it looks like a morning show right now.
It does. Empty
I think the thing I'm proudest of from The Daily Show was diversity. I think that's the thing that...
That's what this proves.
Yeah, there's a bald guy.
That's what it proves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing a jacket.
So, okay, so, John, you start The Daily Show. Let's just go down memory lane. You start The Daily Show in 1999.
I started in it in 1999. It started in 96.
There is no proof that The Daily Show existed before you got there. Because I've looked at the Comedy Central website, and I think they burned all the tapes. I was there before, John, to throw weight around. I was at The Daily Show before you were.
Yes.
I started 20 years ago in 1997.
I met you at the press conference where I got to be introduced as the host. Stephen showed up and asked me a question as a member of the press.
Right, because when it was announced you were going to be the person, which they didn't tell anyone on the staff, that
right.
John was going to be the new host. Uh-huh. They just announced a press conference, and I said, well, I'm on The Daily Show. I think we would cover this press conference. Sure. So I just showed up unannounced, and I said, no, Mr. Stewart, my question, the fact that you've been announced as the host of The Daily Show, how does that impact my chances of becoming the host of The Daily Show?
I remember, and I turned to the president of Comedy Central at that time, and I said, I thought you told me he wasn't funny.
And thereby a great friendship was born. So who started next after me? When did you start?
We both started the exact same time.
That's right.
Same day.
2002.
We auditioned you two on the same, I think it was on the same day.
Yep. There were auditions?
Oh yeah.
We had to audition.
We had a whole process.
Oh, yeah. Through the gauntlet.
And you find out later that those auditions are televised throughout the entire building.
Yes.
That is true.
Yes.
So you're sitting there and everybody's watching it?
By the way, it's on all the monitors in the entire building.
Yeah.
If you guys don't remember your early field pieces, we have a clip together here. It's just a little snippet. It's a little snippet here. It starts off with Ed. It's you getting a mole removed from your nose was your first piece.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're covering gay penguins.
Yeah, that was one.
That was not her first.
It wasn't my first.
It was early. These are earlier ones.
Classic gay piece.
Rob, I think that you're talking about how Spider-Man craze.
I don't remember.
And Oliver, yours is about war reenactors.
Correct.
All right, Jim?
It's a mole, a harmless mole.
If I were to get this removed, is the tube in my rectum, is that a very uncomfortable part?
In your rectum?
Is that...
In your rectum.
If you were to believe the producers of Spider-Man, a leotard is a sexy outfit that attracts the ladies. But after an exhaustive investigation, I learned that that's simply not the case.
Really funny, thank you.
Nice ad.
Yeah, thanks.
How many gay penguins do you actually have?
Three pairs that are same sex. One female-female pair among the Gentoo penguins, and two male-male pairs among the chin straps.
So two of your Gentoo penguins and four of your penguins are gay.
A chin strap penguins.
That's what I said.
March! Yeah! Freedom!
John Oliver had come face to face with the true face of war.
I think I've broken my nose.
I was gravely injured. It replayed in my mind, in black and white, in slow motion, with cartoon sound effect.
Okay. John, did you ever feel bad about what you were setting us out to do?
No. No, I enjoyed it and would try and heighten it.
No.
John's lucky that we didn't do that bit on Pavement. We were going to do that all.
Did you ever, Sam, do you remember like going out and like being afraid, like this person might throw a punch at me or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Oh, for sure. I mean, I would spend days with the worst homophobes and sometimes just the worst people you could possibly imagine, and you have to get them to engage in this big sketch that you've done, and you've taken three airplanes to get there, and you need them to give you some content, so you have to be really nice to them all day.
The big homophobes were never around good travel hubs. That was always the worst part about the big homophobes. The big homophobes always had to take a little puddle plane and then like another little thing.
I had to flee the Klan one night. I had to flee the Klan.
Yeah.
That was my second field piece.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. I made the mistake of we were doing Comedy Central station IDs at the time on our shoots, and we went out to a cross burning in the countryside. And as you do, it was a summer kicker. Like, let's find out where the Klan was formed. So we went to Pulaski, Tennessee.
Don't make this story sound like Steel Magnolias. Like,
so
we went out.
So we get invited out. They don't know who I was. And we go out to this cross burning in the countryside. And I go, oh, this would be a perfect summer kicker. And like a little thing. So there's a cross burning behind me. And I said, I'm Stephen Colbert. And this is Comedy Central. And I looked around. And then there are guys, big guys in hoods, saying to me, comedy what? What is this now? Where are y'all from? And I said, oh, my producer right here will talk to you.
That's the most
and as you know, all the producers, so this is Stephen Colbert, all the producers are short Jews. So basically, he's sending a small mouse into a lion's den.
Well, this is actually, and a woman as well. She came over at the moment, and she goes, what is the problem? And he goes, what's this comedy thing? Are you making fun of the Klan? And she goes, look, guys, the president of the Klan's over there across the field. He knows all about what we're doing. Go talk to him. And they said, we're going to. And they all walk off across the field. And she goes, haul ass! And we ran as fast as we could.
That's awesome.
We got to take a break. We'll be right back with more Sam B., Ed Helms, Rob Corddry, John Oliver, and John Stewart. Stick around.
Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Enjoying this episode of the Late Show Poncho? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Hey, everybody! We're back with Sam B., Ed Helms, Rob Corddry, John Oliver, and John Stewart.
Do you remember the guy who was homonosic? He lived in Florida, and he was...
Yes.
He was like, I don't hate gay people. They just make me nauseous.
Yes.
Because all of the lesbians are coming to Florida and converting the straight white women to lesbianism, and it's making me physically nauseous.
Yes. Wasn't he running for something,
He was
though?
Also running for office.
That's what it was.
I think he's...
His platform.
He's probably doing great now. But I caught him planning a threesome with me and the producer that I went down with after. He had
figured out... What do you mean he was planning
it? He was planning with his friend that they were... a foursome. With him and his friend, they were going to separate us and take us to their...
Whoa!
Yeah. Consensually. They just assumed that we were in love with
that's
them.
That's a
like,
much
it was
nicer story now.
Like, it was... Yeah.
Thank you.
No. Yeah,
thank you.
This they is beautiful.
What's
that
the
we
problem?
Were...
Yeah. I feel terribly like this is just because, like, that this is actually not your show. It's Dr. Phil's show. And he's going to be over there, and he's just going to talk about how I allowed all of you to be put in these situations.
Did you have a way that you could make yourself go talk to people? Because you'd be in there, like, you had a point of view always. The point of the field pieces, you had a point of view, like a real reporter, I suppose,
well,
you know.
The beauty is I'm dead inside. So
that is so helpful. Having a soul.
We spotted that during his audition.
That's the thing. So I'm British. I'm so far removed from anything you would recognize as human emotions. I was really perfectly cut for this job because you would see people distressed and you think,
so
I got...
Lucky.
It makes life so much
easier.
Oh,
I know.
Let's remind people what John was like when we met him. This is John Stewart and his enormous suits back in the day. They actually made you wear Craig Kilborn suits when you
Can
first came
something?
On the show. Look
that
how big
guy
that suit is.
So immensely I do think there is something in this, though, that I would like to discuss very briefly, and that is, why has age ravaged me? You were the ones out in the field. I'm in a studio surrounded by craft services, and yet, in a Benjamin Button scenario, I am at the beginning of the movie, and you all seem fine. And this is, I find this very peculiar. And is it because you are still in show business that you are being preserved, and that when you leave show business, like a desiccant just goes up your and dries you out from the inside?
When you leave the amniotic sac, that's what happens.
You look like a garden of earthly pleasures, and I am a small handful of potpourri that has dried, and I'm not suggesting that I'm not still aromatic to some extent.
Right.
Yeah.
But clearly,
that's fair.
This is it. I mean, this really does look like a group of students coming back to see Mr. Holland. At the end, it's the end, and I've done it all. I've gone for 6 years, and you're gonna be like, do you remember that time you played the theme from Rocky for us? And I'm just gonna be like, I don't remember anything. It's really shocking and quite upsetting. You look younger.
He's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
So beautiful. Yeah.
Thank
beautiful
you. You man. Glow.
Yeah. I sleep in formaldehyde.
Yeah.
Which is...
We live in L.A., so there's a whole thing that goes on there, right?
Are we talking?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Nothing keeps you younger. I just want to tell you... I just want to indulge myself before we go. I want to thank all of you guys for being here. This was what it was like to hang out backstage. Right? This was like what it was like to hang out backstage for years at The Daily Show.
Well, the couches were different. They were arranged different.
Not this nice. Not this nice.
This very nice.
It was the greatest experience.
It was kind of a smaller stage.
Greatest experience. And so I wouldn't have this gig or any gig if it hadn't been for this man and the show that he gave me. And I want to go out on John interviewing me as Al Sharpton in the favorite thing I ever did with this man on that show. Thank you all. We'll be right back.
I know that you lost the mayoralty and now you're running for president. Seems backwards, but what are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to win.
It's that.
I'm rested. I'm ready. I'm thin. I've got street cred now since I've been in the old Gray Bar Hotel, which is what the kids are calling it these days.
That's it.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount+.